Bibles with you this morning. I'm going to be, the text is in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If you need a Bible, slip up your hand. We'll get one in your hand. We got plenty of them laying around if anyone needs a Bible. Would you like a Bible? Somebody give this young lady a Bible. Huh? All right, here's Bible. All right. Yeah, that's a Bible. It says B-I-B-L-E. Amen. We're going to be speaking out of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, but I want to begin today with going to Ephesians chapter 5. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. This morning I want to talk to you about the process of elimination. To eliminate, it means to purge, to get rid of. And something about the process of elimination, what the Lord wants us to do as we follow on to know Him, He wants us to eliminate some things that are holding us back, so at the end we won't be eliminated. Amen? So it's a process, and the sanctification is a process. It takes our lifetime. Nobody's arrived yet. We're all still on a journey, right? If you touch yourself and you're still here, you still, God isn't done with you yet. So pinch yourself. You feel anything there? If you're feeling something, God still has something for you to accomplish in this world. Amen? Amen. Because you ain't going to leave this world till you accomplish what God's called you to accomplish. Amen. And He gave me a great dream, so I ain't leaving for a while. Because we got some things that we need to accomplish for the kingdom of God. But I thought it was interesting when I was thinking about that thought, how the Apostle Paul parallels a husband and a wife with the church. He paralleled it as we are the bride of Christ. Amen? And as we look at that in Ephesians 5, verse number 26, he said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. I'm thankful that for Jesus Christ's blood, Christ's blood that covers my imperfection. Amen. When God looks down upon you and I, He's seeing the blood. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, He's seeing the covering of the blood of His Son. But at the same time, He calls us He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen? How many know that it's a good thing being a Christian? You know, I did a lot of things in this world as a man of the world, and I never enjoyed as many of them as much as I do enjoy doing the things for the kingdom of God. The things for the kingdom of God have so much greater reward than something that just fades away and disappears. Amen? So with that in mind, I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter, we're going to start with verse number, chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 6, for our text today. We're going to talk about what we're going to yoke ourselves up with. All right? So we're going to begin to read in verse number 14 of 2 Corinthians 6. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Belial or the devil? Or what part have he that believeth with an infidel or a non-believer? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Our part. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. His part. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Then I believe that chapter 7, verse 1 should have been included with this. Verse number 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. The title of this morning's message is simply The Process of Elimination. Amen. And I want you to understand, again, our sanctification is a process that takes our entire lifetime. When I submit and I give something over to the Lord, He usually shows me something else. And then He deals with that, and I give that unto the Lord, and He shows me something else. And I give that unto the Lord, and He shows me something else. And I give that unto the Lord, and He shows me something else. But He never shows me 10 things at one time. He never puts more on me than I can handle or I can bear. And He wants us to understand that He is our burden lifter. He is the one that will enable us to do these things. That's when we can really truly say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen? So the title of this morning's message is The Process of Elimination. We're going to look at the promise, the purification, and the perfection. Can we lift our words together and make a declaration today in the house of God? Say with me, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Have your way in my life, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and you're not sending the word to cut anybody up in the house today. But you're here to cut away the things that are trying to attach to our lives that aren't of you. We live in a world that's full of sickness and disease, Father God, but you came, you are the Lord that healeth us. You sent your word to heal our diseases. So, Father, today, Father God, as your word is spoken through this mouth, Father God, may it come from you, Father God. I lay myself down at the altar, Father God, and I pray, Lord, that you speak through me today. Speak with clarity and understanding so that the body can be edified, encouraged, and comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, all glory, honor, and praise will be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We just say, Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. So first, so he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, Peter is writing this letter to those of precious, like precious faith. So this is written to us. How many have faith in Jesus Christ? If you're in and you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have like precious faith. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, before you leave here, we pray that you have faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. But he says that in verse 2 of 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I want you to understand something before I get. God calls for you and I just to use simple addition. 1 + 1 + 1. God multiplies, we add. Amen? God's into multiplication. He doesn't want us to get confused. So always he says to you and I is, all I want you to do is go 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1. If you start adding the things of God, I'll start putting my hand upon them and I'll multiply it. He's the multiplier. We're not the multiplier. He multiplies it. And he says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given us all things that have pertained to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So all the Lord is saying to you is, and I is, okay, if we just start adding these things, as I'm walking through this, I'm adding virtue. Virtue comes from the Greek word arete, which means I'm walking towards excellence. Whatever I do it, I just do it the best I can. God doesn't expect you to do anything but your best. Amen. And maybe you feel that your best isn't good enough, then you made it about you and you didn't make it about him. All God expects from you and I is to give him our very best. Whatever we put our hands to, we're to do it with the best we can. Do it as unto the Lord, but do it as the best we can. That's what virtue means. Virtue means, and then he's given to us exceeding great promise we add to our virtue, knowledge. This is the knowledge. Man may live by bread alone, but man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, I fashioned before Christ, I fashioned my life as unto the world, but now I'm being refashioned after him. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. So in other words, I got to change the way I think. Because truthfully, when I was in the world, I had stinking thinking. Amen. Amen. So as we're added to our virtue knowledge, and we're added to our knowledge, temperance or long-suffering, patience, and patience godliness. So all he's saying to you and I, as we're doing this and we're walking this walk, he says, come to me just as you are. But I love you so much, I'm not going to leave you the way I found you. In other words, he says, come follow me. Amen. I'm going to lead you by example. And he's saying he's telling you and I just to add these simple things. So if you're praying and you're seeking God, and there's all this heap of condemnation that's packed on top of you, I want you to understand that condemnation isn't coming from God. It's coming from the adversary. He wants you to feel that God doesn't love you, and he's trying to put more on you than you can handle. Let me tell you something. The devil's trying to put more on you can handle. That's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need the Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. He purchased when he said it was finished, it was complete, it was done. He's already taken care of it for us. He said, okay, guys, we're just going to use a little simple addition. Amen. I don't want to put anybody out of place, but how many people can add in here? All right, let me say this. Didn't see many hands that people can add. How many people have a hand in here? Let me see your five fingers. That's all there was. You can add them on one hand and God will multiply it. He's the multiplier. He says if one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. Look what God puts his multiplication into it. All he's asking us to do is the best we can. So look with me in James chapter 1. James 1. Are we with me today? Did we have too much turkey on Thanksgiving? Have we been eating too many leftovers? I heard turkey makes you sleepy. Hallelujah. I got my eye on you. Just kidding. James chapter 1, verse number 12. The word of God says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Amen. A crown of life. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. In other words, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And what he is saying to you and I is, hey, there's a tempter in this world. Amen. And the world, the devil tries to tempt you all the time. And God never tempts anybody with evil. So when I recognize where my battle line, I draw a line in the sand. Amen. I know where my battle line is. I know who the tempter is. But God has empowered me that no temptation has taken me, which is common to man, but God has always given a way of escape. Amen. There is nothing that you face that you don't have an avenue to walk away from. You know, the devil cannot make you do anything. We're not Flip Wilson here. The devil made me do it. 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 No, the devil can't make you do a thing. God gave you a free will, and God gave you and I a choice. Amen. And he can't make us do anything. And guess what? God ain't going to make us do anything either. You know, it becomes the old blame. Oh, the devil made me do it. It was his fault. This is all. Well, I know the devil's pretty cunning. I wonder one day when we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, all that stuff's going to be revealed anyway. It's going to be so quickly. I'll let that stuff go. I'm not going there because that's not the message today. I'm going to go off on some rabbit trail. Amen. What God wants you to get in your heart today, one of the first things he wants you to get in your heart and your mind is his promises. God is not a man that should lie. Every word that he said has come to pass. Every prophetic word in the Bible came to pass. Thousands of years before it was accomplished to the very letter. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man he needs to repent. God said it, it's going to happen. God has given you and I everything we need to be successful in this world. You know what God says? Hey, man, we should be successful businessmen, women in this world, giving God the glory. Because the devil's getting so much glory because the church of God has got stuck. We need to get unstuck. Amen. We need to get stuck in that mold. Well, my mama did it. My daddy did it. That's the way they did it. I'm going to do it that way too. Come on now. You're a new creation. This is a new generation. This is a new season. It's a new time. Amen. God's anointed you to accomplish things in this world. Amen. Amen. Is it just me and amen-er? I just want to look at things in a positive outlook. You know, I ain't going to come to you with the negativity. I'm going to come to you with a positive word. Here's a positive word for you. Turn with me and your Bibles to 1 Kings 8. We're talking about Solomon just for a moment. Solomon blesses the people. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 56 says, "Blessed be the Lord that have given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he had promised. There have not failed one word of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." Amen. In other words, there has not one word failed. There has not one word failed. And if I'm hoping and I'm looking and I'm desiring some things from the Lord and I'm praying for family, look at all the things that happened with you this week. Amen. She got into prayer and supplication, and there was a hunter that was hunting because it's deer season, and the bullet came in her house and came through her walls and just landed on the family room floor. Because he couldn't touch the anointed. He couldn't touch the call of God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. There was another one.
Oh, my son was driving down the road. I've really been in prayer. My son was driving down the road, and the truck in front of him had one of those things, jacks, and it fell off the back of the truck, hit the road, came up, hit the front of his truck, went all the way into his hood, and went up on top of the car. It could have just went right through the windshield and got him, and it would have killed him. But but it just went right into the hood of the truck, made a hole through it, and jumped up on the roof. So the Lord has shed mercy upon my family over and over again last week.
Right. So what? We serve a what? A faithful God.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to get a hold of this, because if you can't get a hold of this, the adversary is going to keep beating you up and tossing you around. God is greater than all of this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, the Word of God says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you is in Christ, and have anointed us as God, who have sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Amen. 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 We've got a helper, my friends. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. Amen. Amen. I don't know, man. I don't want to give the adversary any room. He takes enough room. I think it's time for the body of Christ to start taking some things back that belong to the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. I mean, amen. Haven't we let them take too much? Have we let them take too much? So he wants us to eliminate some things in our lives. How many like to be under fire? I don't like the fire, but the fire of the Holy Ghost is a purifying fire. And every time I feel like I've arrived, ugh. And I get to a place, oh, I got over that, man. I'm getting it now. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, son, how about this?" The Holy Spirit never beats me up. God is love. "There is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh." And as we're walking in the Spirit of God, and God's revealing and showing things to us, amen, as he shows them to us, he reveals them in love. God is love. The Spirit is love. So when God's operating, if somebody's coming to beat you up to tell you how bad you are, they're not coming in love. I'm not here to tell anybody how bad they are. I'm here to tell you how good God is. Amen. Amen. And that none of us have arrived yet, but we're all on a journey, praise God. But he's given us promises in this word. And he says, he said in that, "Let us, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and of the spirit." And that speaks of the process of purification. It's a process. Amen? So look with me to Acts chapter 22. Acts 22. I wish I had one of them shouting, praising messages, but I have this one today. How many know? I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something here as the body of Christ. And the body of Christ needs to understand this worldwide. I believe God is about to pour his Spirit out like never before. I believe there's an end time pouring of the Spirit of God for bringing an end time harvest of souls. I believe God's glory is going to fill the atmosphere. And I believe as glory is filling the atmosphere, I think God wants us to get in condition so that we'll be able to stand and minister. Because if we're not able to minister in the glory to other people, everybody just be laid out. But God uses men and women to minister to men and women. Amen. God uses us to operate and move. So as he's taking us through this process, I'm expecting his glory to come. I've seen it in a vision, and it's so cool. It's cool. It's not a fearful thing, because what fills the atmosphere is pure, unadulterated love. And when true Love fills the room. It will bend every knee in the sanctuary. There will not be one that will be able to stand in the glory of God's love. It's so pure and it's so perfect. We'll just, our knees, my knees will start getting weak. Amen. He says it. He says, I'm going to pour my spirit out upon all flesh. Amen. He didn't say I was going to pour my spirit out upon some flesh. He said, I'm going to pour my spirit out upon all flesh. So all flesh, his spirit's going to be poured out. And I see it coming. And God's getting us prepared. And God's getting us ready. Amen. Amen. I don't know what we got to get ready for. Just lay in his presence, I guess, and stand up in his glory. I don't know. Amen. But I'm looking for it. I'm expectant. I'm like a child when I was a kid and I went to the store, Toys R Us. Wow! Heaven! Probably still be heaven for me as a big kid. Amen. Did you ever desire little toys and you walk in, if you got to go to a store like that, it was like, wow, man. Okay. Maybe it's just me. But when Saul of Tarsus had an encounter with the resurrected Lord in Acts chapter 22, when Ananias came to him, and verse 14, he said, and the God of our fathers have chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, and thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. And I want you to understand something, that something we're getting ready in December the 27th after the Sunday morning service. We're going to have a baptism service. And if you need to be baptized, please let me know. And there's something that takes place in that. There's a circumcision without hands. It's an outward expression of what took place on the inside. But in Colossians 2, it speaks about a circumcision in the spirit. Amen. Amen. And when the spirit is starting to move in your hearts and lives, that's when the purification process starts. So turn with me to James chapter 4. Am I boring anybody in the house today? He sent the word and healed my disease. He is the Lord, my healer. He sent the word and healed my disease. He is the Lord, my healer. This is the healer. This is the word of God. Amen. So in James chapter 4, verse number 5, it says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. A simple pattern. Submit, resist, and the devil will leave. Submit, resist, and the devil will leave. I'm not saying he won't come back, because he'll surely come back. Then, to help you, when he comes back, you continue. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Amen? In other words, when he reveals something to you, let it go. Let it go. Amen. He's dealing with me on this issue of sugar, of sweets. Why does it have to be sweets of anything in the world? I was a diabetic for 10 years, and I couldn't eat sugar, and I couldn't have sweets, and I was very disciplined. But in 2010, the Lord healed my body of diabetes. And I haven't been in any medication of any kind since 2010. I had nothing. And God healed my body completely. But what happened after he healed my body, even though he healed my body and I don't have an issue with this thing, I began to love sweets. I just didn't want to eat a donut. I wanted to eat a dozen. You know, I was trying to make up for all this lost time. Amen. And so that has become a stumbling block for me and for others I minister to. Amen. So that's on the fire of refining right now. And I bet my flesh is battling. It's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. There's some warfare going on. So if I look funny, I'm not making faces at you. Amen. And we all battle with different things. Where's your warfare? Where's your battle? He says this. Amen. Resist the devil. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Amen. He's going through purification. Man, I'm so proud of Pam and Sarah and you guys. Amen. What'd you do for Thanksgiving, Pam? How far did you walk? You walked 4 miles. Now, a year ago, how far could you have walked?
Not even a quarter mile.
How many now? Is it okay if I bring this up? How many? 97 pounds. God is transforming her life. There was a word that did come from the pastor. He wasn't anointed enough. It came from the pastor's wife. And God spoke to her through the pastor's wife and praise God. Man, I was looking at that at Facebook. Man, it was all kinds of joy. It just brought so much joy in my heart and life. Because you know what it speaks of? It speaks of longer life. Amen. It speaks of us being able to do everything that God's called us to do. Amen. And why do you think the adversary wants to cripple us and maim us and get us defeat us? Amen. I want you to understand that by his stripes we are healed. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He is the Lord that heals us. Amen. Next Sunday we're going to have a miracle healing service. And if you need to be healed, why is it next Sunday? You know why it's next Sunday? Because we have a whole house of doubt. But then we're going to have a whole house of faith. And people believing for healing. And when two or three agree, it's touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them by the Father. So why did I set apart that? Because it's going to be a time when we agree, and men and women come in agreement in faith, and we're believing for signs and wonders and miracles, and for God to do it. And guess what? He does it every time. Amen. Amen. He does it every time. He never fails. He always shows up. Amen. So next Sunday, following the morning service, we're going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. Hey, why? Because that's what he said to do. Amen? To lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Should I get back to the message? 1 John. And I'll get ready to close this down. I think I've already said what I was supposed to say. The Word of God says, I got about 5 minutes, but you can get up there and start. I got about 5 minutes, so you can just lightly play. Yeah. And as every man have, and where were we? 1 John 3:3. And every man that have this hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. But God gave me the Holy Spirit inside of me. He gave you as a child of God the Holy Spirit inside of you so that we can become the image of Christ. Was Christ was without sin. And I'm not saying that anybody in the room is perfect. I'm not perfect. But I serve a perfect Lord. And he says for you and I, it's not only the we hold on to the promises, we have the purification, but we also have the perfecting. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, just for a moment. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4:22 that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness which is corrupt according to deceit, lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When I was a sailor, I was in the Navy, I talked as a sailor. But when I became a child of God, my words changed. The things that I say change. I don't react like I used to react. I become a man that blesses, I don't curse. We're dealing with the world that's a corrupt world that we live in. And we're not battling with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God wants you to know as his children, amen, that we don't react like we used to. The only way the world is going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is that we become Christ in the world, because the world isn't in here. We can come in here and act all holy and all righteous, and we don't affect a soul. There's our field. There's our field. The harvest is ripe and ready. And God has called us as his kingdom men and women to walk in that new nature. You know, he says in the word in Hebrews 12. Listen to this in verse number 14. The word of God has instructed you and I to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look in diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and there many be defiled. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. We're not here to light it up in here. We're here to light up a dark world. And I want you to understand something as a child of God. When your light goes in the world, darkness dissipates. Darkness flees when light comes in. Just as simple as this. I believe God wants you to understand today how important you are to the kingdom of God and how valuable you are to those that he's placed you around. You may be the only light that they see. I don't know about you. Amen. But I want to give my daddy some glory. I don't know about you, but my daddy has delivered me out of a whole lot of stuff. I don't know about you, but my daddy came in and he cleaned out all the skeletons in my closet. Amen. There's no skeletons left. Jesus paid for it all. Amen. God wants you to know that old life is gone. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Can we start giving God some praise and glory? Can we give him some praise and glory? Come on now, church. Come on now, church. Come on now. Lord, we glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in closing today, simply this. It's a process of elimination. As the Holy Spirit unctions you to lay something down, just lay it down and leave it. Amen. We have a tendency to leave the door cracked open just in case. Hello? Oh, I'm going to shut this door, but I'm going to just leave it open just a little bit in case, you know. But God says, when God closes a door, no man can open it. And when God opens a door, no man can shut it either. And God is desiring to open up some new doors in your life. He's wanting to open up some new doors in our lives, but he is saying, I just want you to shut this door. And I'm not asking what your door is. That's between you and the Lord. And you know, God didn't call you in here to bring your junk out of the trunk to me. You bring your junk out of the trunk to him. He is the Savior, not me. So what he is saying to us today is, hey, he's given us his promises, and all the promises in his are yes and amen. He's called us to be perfect. He said, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect, is what Jesus said. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, I believe verse 48. And we're to be purified. Let the Holy Ghost purify us. Amen. Could you bow your heads and let us pray? Father, we're so grateful that you sent your word here today to accomplish what you sent it to do. In the closing moments of the service, maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And he's saying, behold, I'm standing at your heart's door and I'm knocking. If you answer and open the door, I'll come in. Is that as you? Is there anybody here that wants to receive Jesus as their Lord? Is there anybody at all? I need to make him my Savior. Is there anybody here at all? Don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Anybody at all? Just in the closing moments of the service. Pastor, I'm not at the place I need to be. Is that you? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another one here today? Pastor, I'm not at that place I need to be. Is that you? He says, behold, I stand and I call. Will you answer? Is there anybody else? I'm not at that place. Is there anybody else? Would you come and join me here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? It's a great decision, Anthony. Anthony, right?
Yeah.
Say, pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge you died on the cross. You arose from the grave. You paid the penalty for my sins. You purchased me a place in heaven. Father, forgive me all my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul and making me whole. Now, Father, my body now becomes your temple. Fill me, Father God. Fill me to overflowing with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.